evening, in as many evenings as we can look at. I want to look at the New Testament ministry. Actually, what I would have loved to call it would be ministering the Spirit. But I guess calling the New Testament ministry gives it more of a clarity, because we're actually not just going to describe, we actually want to also help people to practice. That's why the two titles come to mind, the New Testament ministry, or basically ministering the Spirit. A couple of people don't know how to make that distinction between that ministry and earlier ministry. So I want you to pay good attention, because it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Oh, you don't believe that? All right, let's see. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Father, we ask and receive this evening wisdom, revelation, knowledge of your Son Jesus. Thank you, Father, because there's clarity, precision, and no error at all in the explanation, reception, and every heart here fully comprehends the truth that is found in Christ. We behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts. Now, the word gifts is italicized, so we can make do with it. And it depends on how we see it. It says, brethren, I would not have ignorant. Now, pay attention to the word ignorant. Because there are quite a number of times that we focus on where the Bible doesn't focus. And I know a lot of people that's exactly where they stay. I learned of a person who was preaching one day. Then he said, did you notice that Jesus, when he got to Isaiah 61, he closed the book rather than read the day of vengeance. And this is a preacher speaking in 2015. So he said, but I have the authority to open the book and declare the day of vengeance. People sat there in the auditorium. I mean, there should be a way of walking out. They walked out on Jesus in the Bible and nothing happened. Hallelujah. Don't you got that? Okay, so look at the word ignorant, and that's a vital, because if he says you mustn't be ignorant, this must be a vital subject that you must know. There are subjects you must know. You can't afford not to know them. The subjects you must know. For example, when the Bible talks about faith, you must know what faith is. It's a subject you must understand. Because it's all over the Bible. It's not the kind of subject you must say, well, I have an idea of what you're trying to say. I know it's somewhere in the Bible. Of course it's somewhere in the Bible. To be Revelation 22. You wait here to the very last chapter. Somewhere in the Bible. Somewhere in the Bible. Somewhere in the Bible. You get it. So it's important that we realize that there are some subjects that we can't be ignorant of. Now, the word ignorance is the word, or ignorant, is the word agnoheo, A-G-N-O-E-O. Now, gno already is what? Gnosko, right? Okay, so that is alpha. If you know what grammar is, alpha will be negative of knowing, right? Am I there? Alpha, knowing. That is negative, then plus, negative plus, negative plus, that will be negative, right? Alpha, gnil, alpha, agnil. Okay? So that means it deals with both information and experience. So sometimes you can have the experience, you know, have the information, you can have the information, you don't have the experience. So it says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now let's look at example, not what is used 22 times by New Testament writers, that's language. Now let's see two places where I want you to notice that word, or three anyway. The word agnoio. Look at Romans 10:3. People that are not ignorant, or so that are ignorant, have actions that show it. Not just in their mind, because I can't know what you don't know by looking at your mind. I don't know what's on your mind, but I'll know by what you do and what you say. Are you there? So look at Romans 10. My prayer, my desire, brethren, for Israel is that they might be saved. Romans 10:1. For they do have record, that I bear them record that they have zeal, right? But what? Not according to knowledge. zealous. Now, zeal there is not just passive actions, something like that. Zeal there is activity, very active, but not according to knowledge. Now look at verse 3. Let's see verse 3 together. They what? They what? Ignorant of. You know, doesn't mean you're ignorant totally, but being ignorant of what? God's righteousness. They've been ignorant of God's righteousness. Go ahead. Establishing their own righteousness. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. In other words, they think their kind of righteousness is God's righteousness. So ignorant people have a mindset. They think, I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm talking about. And you know, the longer you grow in ignorance, the more ignorant you're going to become. Particularly if you have results from ignorance. You get it? So he says they go around establishing their own righteousness, which is righteousness of the law. I explained that on Sunday. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 38. Let him that is ignorant, right, be ignorant still. Let him that is what? Ignorant. So it shows you it's self-inflicted. Agno Hill, we're going to see, is rejection of knowledge. That is, they bring it to you and you say you don't want it. I know some ministers today, just some, I don't know many, but because I've met them, we met many years back, not so many, maybe 20 years or so. I can't call them innocent. Because I say, well, you had the chance of hearing this years back. You preferred to establish things in that ignorance. You rejected knowledge. You didn't want to have it. So that's exactly what Paul is in here. That's why let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. That is, if you want to remain like this, then be like that. There is no pure prayer that solves ignorance. Ignorance can only be solved with knowledge. No matter how many hours you pray, if you like, climb all the mountains that are available in the earth. The only solution to ignorance is knowledge. You can't cure ignorance by prayer. Take that one more time. You can only cure ignorance with the word. Information. How many of you have seen a literate before? Some of you don't know. If he comes around to Lagos and begins to count the bridges. And then you say, I love this person so much, I'm going to start praying for him. You know, you that's not the answer. Get him to school. Get him books to read. Am I right? I declare in the name of Jesus, from today till tomorrow, you will understand physics. Okay, great, but give him books. No, I know, don't have to. You don't need books. You just know it by the power of God. No problem. Let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. 2 Corinthians 2:11. We're not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. That is, you're not ignorant of that. Now, why is he not ignorant? Because he had already mentioned showing love. And when we don't show love, that's the device of the enemy. 2 Corinthians 2:11. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Talking about the last days. You are not ignorant of this events of the last days. So there are things you you've got to know about. So notice here, the word agnohero means to ignore knowledge. Knowledge is offered, but you don't recognize it. You know, some guys could be so funny. A fellow told me one time, he said, well, I tried reading through everything you wrote, but I don't have the time. Pay attention now. He said, just tell me. Sit up. And I'm saying, I won't. He said, just tell me straight up. Are we supposed to, or are we supposed not to? He said, I'm not going to tell you that. He said, why? He said, because I can't. Why can't you? Exactly why I wrote this long. Oh! Why must we all read everything? Well, you have to. If you have been reading everything, you won't be asking this kind of questions. And you go to church and say, just give me one verse. Imagine if you go for a service and they say, we are going to read through all the letters of Paul. We're going to read through this service. Eh? We're all going to stand up. We're going to read through all Paul's letters. Punishment. Because you should read through. They're going to read everything. See? Which ones? Romans? 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians? That's, no! Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You don't want to read. How many pages are the Bible for crying out loud? How many pages are there? Some of you read books that are fiction. Characters that will never exist. Not that they don't exist, they will never exist. You read 200 pages and you'll be folding the page like this, till tomorrow. And you don't have time for your Bible. Praise God. I'll share this Sunday service. I was talking about why we must read. What? I explained why we must read from the Bible. Right? So you are also explaining why we must read? Yeah, I will. Why you must read? I mean, read. Remember the word read? Who remembers the word? Anna? Huh? Annabelle. Say what? Anna Ginosko means what? To? You're like, oh, not casual reading. Not browsing. But what? Read to understand. Uh-huh. To capture the meaning. Right? Paying attention to what? Details. Thank you. Alright, let's go. So in agnohero, you rejected knowledge. You don't want to know. Now look at 1 Corinthians 6. He writes to this church. And I want us to read verse 2. 1 Corinthians 6. The same letter as 1 Corinthians 6. Let's go. Huh? Do you not know? Hold on. Do you not know? Now, he uses heido here. A-I-D-O, which is to appreciate, to recall. Which means they had been taught. He only wanted them to what? Recall. Heido. Okay? Verse 3. Huh? Know ye not. Verse 9. Know ye not. Same people though. Verse 15. Huh? Know ye not. Verse 16. What? Know ye not. Okay, good. Verse 19. What? Know ye not. Now, so how many times he says that? Verse 3, verse 9, 6 times. In just a few sentences. Know ye not. He said, I've taught you this before. So Heido comes to play. Heido, if you're going to recall, that means you've already accepted the truth. You've been taught. But now you are not appreciating it in how you are acting. So he says, know ye not. you know, to recall. Look at 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 7. The funny part is that this pastor of 1 Corinthians, you know, he's writing to a church. He says that they are babes. I kind of feel they know will make some believers unborn. Because kind of things that he says they know here, he might breakfast will be promoting some believers. You know. Yeah, look at this. One guy told me, said, what I know about the Holy Spirit is this. God gives us the Holy Spirit in the place of prayer. I said, where did you get that scripture from? Because I'm wondering, how in the world? And he says, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened to you. If you've been evil, know I'll give good to your children. How much shall I ever give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? That's a genius. He said, so what happens if I pray today and have the Holy Spirit? He said, because we may not maintain that prayer life. Because the Bible says we pray always. Since you cannot pray always, the Holy Spirit will go until next time you pray. You have to remain prayerful. How do you start with that kind of brother? He's a leader in the church. That means he has flock. Fire. Chai. Verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. Now he uses the word here, gnosis. That knowledge. What refers to what? He's talking about the knowledge, the very basic knowledge. Knowledge is eating of the things offered to idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world and there is no other God but one. Nothing. And some guys today still preach that a demon can give you food. So what happened? So when I was sleeping, they gave me kokoro buns. What about egg roll? That's a very popular one. Egg roll. Give me egg roll. He said, what did you eat? Egg roll. Aye! Hey! In your dream? So you have been initiated. You are now a member of Mulumba Mulumba. How did you know, sir? That's Sophia. you have Sophizo in those things. Anyway, so he says that in this kind of knowledge, but yet we have not that knowledge in every man. Imagine he's writing to the church at Corinth that he called babes, and he says that that through thy knowledge shall thy weak brother. So there's still a weak brother after babes. You mean there's still another level below babes? E.W. Kenyon calls it. He says there's a level, there's another food after milk. I was listening. What? It's a Blue John. Which is the truth. You know? So it says it's in every man. Why? Look at 1 Corinthians 3. He writes about this church. He says, I could not feed you. Our brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, as unto babes. That is as unto carnal, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 3. Even as unto babes in Christ. Babes. What is wrong? I couldn't feed you as unto spiritual. I had to feed you with milk. Not with meat. He calls them babes. Nepios is somebody that is not developed. Now, why does he call them not developed? It's not because they are just getting born again. He calls them not developed because they don't have knowledge. The kind of knowledge that they have is the kind of knowledge for babes. Nepios. The undeveloped. Who is not formed. That's exactly what Paul wrote in Ephesians 4. When he says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, verse 13, to the perfect man, to the full knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more nepios, verse 14, tossed to and fro, to and fro, that's the name of churches, to and fro, programs, to and fro, mountains, to and we deliver them, to and fro. Some guys will sit down before television and they'll watch all the programs and they'll say, yeah, yeah, to each of the things they watch. That's fro and fro. This is what it says. You are theirs already. See, Rhema. The other guy says, to get the blessings of God, four keys. You are still writing. Pick one. You are blessed or get blessed. You can't get blessed because you are blessed. I think so. Sometimes we forget English when we listen to sermons. But he says, I've fed you with milk. Why? He said, because I could not speak unto you as unto figure of speech. Don't forget, figure of speech. As unto. Why? Because chapter 2, verse 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? He was of the things of God, knows no man, for the spirit of God. 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That is, I'm taking spiritual things with the spiritual. Those who are born of the Spirit, I'm communicating spiritual information to them. So he says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, that's the carnal man, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, but he himself is judged of no man. For who had known the man of the Lord that he might instruct him, but we have the man of Christ. Now, at this point, he's talking to believers, right? All believers here are born of the Spirit, am I right? At this point, all believers are spiritual because they are born of the Spirit. Spiritual simply means of the Spirit. But he says in 3 verse 1, I could not speak unto you as of what? No, use the definition of God. Again. I couldn't speak unto you as those who have received the Spirit. So, I'm talking to you like people who have not received the Spirit. Are you following that? Now, they are not, a believer cannot be carnal. He's not carnal. If you're carnal, you're a non-believer. But he says, as unto, that's a figure of speech. Are you there? As unto. That is, the kind of communication I have to give you is the one Allah giving those who are not born again. So, how do I know whether I am growing or not? The kind of things that I learn. The kind of things I'm fed with. Some guys, if you don't tell a long story in a sermon, they are bored. They are bored. Let me ask you, who are the people that need stories when you're teaching them? In the natural. There was somebody. Children, you want to tell them more life. They want to teach them diligence. They hear tortoise, you see lion, you see monkey, you see one farmer. That's what they're babies. The same thing spiritually. Let me share a story with you. Story. Once upon a time. There was a brother in my farmer church. In the preaching. 30 minutes. I enjoy that man of God. He gives you real life stories.
You get the point? Because you've got to use those kind of things to teach sheep. That's why, you know, people that like shadows, they like shadows. Come into that. Assuming, for example, your wife is not in the country, or your kids, they're not in the country. Maybe they school abroad. And then you have to, by one way or the other, you send emails to one another, and then they send pictures to you and say, "Oh, I miss you so much. I miss you," and then you get the pictures because they're not around. Then they arrive and you say, "Oh, the pictures, I miss you." You know, really, you need to be prayed for. The Lord was a shadow of things to come. Now that Christ has come, why is he holding the pictures? Is it not the will of God? You need more than deliverance. You need a ransom. How did I go that far? So, if you like stories, in a story, then two scriptures. And then you like somebody who went to heaven. A whole service. But then as I got there, the whole place was dark. Very dark. I saw one being, one creature. You have read Book of Revelation. I was confusing you. He had a horn. I told you on Sunday. Somebody said, "He died, he rose." So he was raised, sorry. Because there's a difference between that. And then he's up as a bimbo to call in hell. And then he said, he asked her, "Why are you in hell fire?" And she was putting on trousers. She said, "It's because of the trousers that I'm wearing." Then I found out, which is funny, that she never wore trousers. She never did. So if you ask her brother, say, "But she never wore trousers," she didn't. Somebody is playing with your mind. You may run mad. There are some visions you have. You just laugh when you see them. They say that you are crazy. When you see something, you say, "Oh my God." So you see your wife. You know, your wife is like a snake. Just laugh. Don't say sweet that. "Oh, what is this snake?" You don't laugh over it. Don't say, "So what are you eating today?" "Don't worry, I'm fasting." "I'm fasting." "What did you tell me?" "I'm fasting." "They told me. That's why you're insisting." You are watching movies. Don't wake up. Oh, your husband, your wife sleeps and puts the head leg under. They say, "Ah!" Or your daughter, "I like putting my legs on the wall." Say, "Eh, eh, eh, eh." You'll be, "Eh, eh." Tell us, "Pastor, it's easy, it's easy." "Pastor, it's very busy." Sorry, let's go back to gospel. You know, but those are the kind of things that babes like. Stories. What happened? There was one guy in my secondary school. His tooth. He said he has a tooth. That if he says something to come to pass. So the seniors got him. "I hear you say something that comes to pass." They beat him. "It's not true. It's not true." Alright, let's go. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 1. So, when I don't want you to be ignorant, that means that if you are a pastor and you are maturing people, obviously, he's maturing them. I think it was a rapper who said this, I believe so. That the book of Corinthians is a book, you're taking people from milk to meat. like you're winning children. You know, when you're winning children, you have to give them solid things. So he's saying, what Paul is saying here, he said, now I'm winning you, I'm taking you out of carnality, as it were, spiritual babyhood, I'm taking you to maturity. A vital ingredient, a vital truth that people must know when they are growing up is concerning spirituals. If you want people to grow, are you following what I'm saying? If you want them to grow, you've got to tell them what Paul taught them here. Spirituals. Now, the word spirituals here is the word pneumaticon or pneumaticos. Pneuma is P-N-E-U-M-A for spirit or spirits. So pneumaticon, things of the spirit. Now, pay attention to this. Now, you find that word used, pay attention here, in primarily by Paul. Outside Paul, only Peter used it just two times. Only Peter used it two times. And you'll find it used 22 times. Pneumaticos. Spirituals. Quickly look at this. Romans 1:11. That I might impart, please open there, some spiritual gifts. Some spiritual gift. So just a spiritual gift of the Spirit. Or that which is spiritual of the Spirit. It's not natural. Then Romans 7:14. The law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. Now when it says spiritual there, necessarily doesn't talk about from the Holy Spirit. The law has a spiritual impact. Romans 7:14. For Romans 15:27, he deals with how the Gentiles receive spiritual benefit or blessings from the Jews. In other words, Jews were the ones who brought the gospel to you. So therefore, they can reap carnal things from you. Romans 15:27. Then 1 Corinthians 2:13, the one we just read now. Comparing spiritual things with what? The spiritual. Then 1 Corinthians 2:15. 1 Corinthians 2:15. He that is spiritual is judged of no man. 1 Corinthians 2:15. 1 Corinthians 3:1. I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, okay? But even as unto carnal, that is as unto babes in Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:11. If we have sown to you spiritual things, is it wrong if we reap of your carnal things? 1 Corinthians 9:11. 1 Corinthians 9:11. 1 Corinthians 10:3. It says that the meat, all the fathers in Israel, they ate of the spiritual meat and also of the spiritual drink. Spiritual meat, spiritual drink. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual things, I wouldn't have ignorant. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Desire spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 14:1. 1 Corinthians 14:37. He that is spiritual. Is there any that is a prophet or that is spiritual? 1 Corinthians 14:37. 1 Corinthians 15:44. The spiritual body. Spiritual body. First Adam is spiritual. Spiritual, two times. 1 Corinthians 15:44. Same thing, 1 Corinthians 15:46. So, two times. So, in just 1 Corinthians, we have the word spiritual used 15 times. In just 1 Corinthians. 15 times. 15. Just 1 Corinthians. 15 times. So we have the others. That's Romans 3 times. Makes 18. I was wrong a bit. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11. So we have 26, not 22. 26 times, of which 15 is just in one letter. Now, why would he be feeding them? Notice that he mentioned spiritual in 1 Corinthians 2, then 3 when he was going to knock their head. So between 1 Corinthians 2, 3, he began to deal with faction issues, judgment issues,
a brother doesn't live right, marriage issues, judgment, and so on. So on the 1 Corinthians 10, when he mentioned Israel, and that wasn't talking to them. Then 1 Corinthians 11, submission to husband. Then until 1 Corinthians 12, then 12, 14, 15, he used a whole lot of the word spiritual. In other words, it's vital for us, if we want people to mature, to actually begin to communicate spiritual information to them. He spent a whole lot of time talking to these folks about spiritual things. Spiritual things. So watch this. This is important. In Galatians 6:1, it says, if any is overtaken by fault, let them that are spiritual restore such one in the spirit of meekness. So we have the word spiritual used for the Lord, don't forget, used for persons, 1 Corinthians 2, used for information, used for gifts. Are you there? Used for the glorified body, 1 Corinthians 15, used for persons, 1 Corinthians 14, 37, spirituals. Used for spiritual blessings, so the gospel of Christ, Romans 15:27. Same thing, 1 Corinthians 9:11. So spiritual can be used for persons, can be used for things. You get it? So you must always interpret how? Contextually. Are you there? Are you there? All right, good. So again, Galatians 6:1, for men who are yielding to the Spirit, who walk in the Spirit, and we see it in their lives. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God, Father of Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, multiple places, in Christ. Ephesians 5:19. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 6:12. Spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. That's not too nice. Spiritual wickedness, that's not from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just like the law, Romans 7:14. The law is spiritual. So we have exceptions to that word. Then we have Colossians 1:9, that you might be filled with wisdom, with knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Understanding of the Spirit, Colossians 1:9, 19. No, Colossians 1:9, sorry. Colossians 3:16, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. 1 Peter 2:5, that built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices. A spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifice. While we're taking time to build buildings and build cathedrals, he's saying no, he's building a spiritual house. We focus on things, he focuses on persons. So funny that we've left the law. We're coming to the, so we're going to focus on things like this here, because we've left the law. That dispensation where spiritual things were put in natural, and they made people much more dull spiritually. See, we're going back to that, those kind of things. We celebrate monuments where we want to open this church building. This building is one of its kind in Africa. Who asked you for all this? How in the world is this what Jesus died for? Hey, that's nothing. That's nothing. He built a spiritual house. Hallelujah. Lots of people say, whose house are we? Glory to God. Are you there? Good. So, when we get to 1 Corinthians 12:1, now concerning what? Now, if you're a wise interpreter of Scripture, you can say now concerning spiritual. You say now concerning these. Because you have to be particular now. We've talked about spiritual in chapter 2. That's not the same thing. We're going to talk about spiritual in 15, the body. So now concerning these spiritual things, being specific, because now he's dealing with gifts, verse 4, ministries, verse 5, operations, verse 6, manifestation, verse 7. Are you there? And then 9 things of the Spirit in verse 11, all these walks of one and self in the Spirit, divine, every man, several as his will. So you must say now concerning these spiritual things. Because where they spoken about spiritual things in chapter 2, different thing. Are you following this? Chapter 10, Israel, verse 3 and 4, something else. Chapter 15, verse 44, glorified body, and 46, they cover the first and the last Adam. So second and the last Adam. Same thing in 46. So,
If you are going to talk about the spiritual things, you must be specific. We also saw that even in 1 Corinthians 14:37, it says, any be spiritual persons. So, we're narrowing it down. We'll say spiritual things where we're not necessarily talking about gifts all the time. Gifts, ministries, persons. Are you there? Glorified body, like I said. So, you must define what you're talking about. Is that clear? Very, very. Thank you. So, now, if you're studying 1 Corinthians 12, because, you know, we are, now, this is a simple interpretation. If I give you a book, and let's give a general meaning of spiritual, from the Spirit, or by the Spirit, or of the Spirit. Am I right? Am I right? Are we right? Okay, so, where was the first place in the book of 1 Corinthians where the word Spirit was mentioned? Where was the first place? 1 Corinthians 2. Right? No, verse 7 just says we come behind in no gift. It doesn't mention Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 2, 4. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Am I right? Am I correct? So, then, he lets you know what Spirit. In verse 9, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Are you there? Are you there? Alright? Verse 10. Okay? Verse 11. Verse 12. So, he's consistent. So, we say the Spirit, which is of God. Are you there? Are you still there? So when I say concerning these things, that means these things of the Spirit of God. Simple interpretation. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Okay. So since he had already told you in chapter 2, of the Spirit he's talking about. So these things of the Spirit of God. Now, look at this. Is this important? 2:9. Look at the definite descriptions of this. 2:9. Look at 2:9. But God has what? Revealed it. Let's read 2:9 together. 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Verse 9. Let's go. What God did? Oh, 2:10. Sorry. 2:10. I skipped it. Bye. Go on. Yea, the deep things of God. Knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of a man which is in him. So the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Go on. We have received not the Spirit which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Pay attention there. 12 says that we might know things that are freely given to us of God. Notice they received. That means it's a gift. We have received, right? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, notice that, quickly, let's see something. I know I'm teaching this Sunday for service, but let me just, I like this a bit. Go to 1 Peter 1:10. I was teaching you on Sunday and I told you that we don't share the same spirit with the prophets. That never tell anybody that the spirit we have today is the spirit the prophets had. The only difference is that the spirit now lives in us. No, don't say things like that again. Alright? I think I explained that some on Sunday. Okay, good. Don't say that. They never had the Holy Spirit. No, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And I explained what they had to you on Sunday. And I'm probably going to same on this Sunday. But now, look at this. 1 Peter 1, verse 10. Let's read it. Of which the prophet of what? Who did what? Search diligently. Of the grace that should come unto you. Or what manner of time? The Spirit was in. And the glory that should follow after. So, whatever they had was searching.
Are you there? Whatever they had was searching for what? Or what manner of time? Okay? But what we have knows. Are you there? Are you following? They were testifying, speaking ahead of time. We know from material. Remember that word. So we know the things that are freely given to us of God. Okay? We know. So, you must not equate these two periods in the Bible. I'll take it one more time. You must not, what we are teaching is, in case you came late, is New Testament ministry or ministering the Spirit. Okay. So, you must not equate the two. And I know this. That God's word is growing in nations of the world. And one of the things that happens, we're taking out the debris, okay? Debris of things being mixed together. So we're seeing clearly. This is what we're talking about. That's the what we're talking about. Now, notice this. In Luke 9, did you notice that the epistles and the four gospels played very low on the acts of power of the Old Testament? Who noticed that? Who noticed that? That there was very minimal and silent information of the things that we go, oh, did you know, did Elijah did this, Elijah. Very silent. He wasn't a major focus at all. Not at all. I showed you on Sunday. I think we studied Elijah on Sunday. Remember Elijah? He, Bible says, he went here from God. And he thought it was the earthquake and God wasn't there. The fire, God wasn't there. So all along he has said the fire was from God. But the last days of his ministry, God wasn't there. God wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the voice. Real small voice. And he was mistaken because he said, I'm the only one that hasn't bowed my knee. He said, who says what? I have 7,000. And he was going to accuse Israel before God. And God said, you can't do that. I have reserved some folks for me. So he thought God was in the fire. That's why he called it down on Baal and killed all those folks. But God was not in the fire. Hallelujah. Should die on Sunday. Amen. How can you serve a God who uses fire? Hello? The Holy Ghost does not use fire, doesn't produce fire. You can't serve a God who uses fire. That's why today, if something happens today, in your mind, somewhere, even with all the words you heard, say, maybe God is angry at somebody. In your mind, somewhere. Because you've not taken out the corruption. Corruption, I'm not talking about monetary corruption. Corruption is decay. Luke's Gospel 9. Learn something? Luke 9. Let's study this a bit. Verse 50. Now, you know the story. They went to a place to preach and then they accept them. And then they told Jesus. The thing about this story is that, you know, Jesus sent them out to preach. But it was just one of the times he was with them. Imagine what he did without him then there. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, James and John, somehow Peter wasn't here. That's good. John that looks so nice and milk and mild, but look at what he said. They said, sometimes when I study the Bible, I wonder how two people can say the same thing. You know what that means, really? Oh, come on, leave that. I think you know what it means. Lord, without that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did. I don't know what they did for it, but how can that be an action on your mind? Look at the things they said. Mark it out. One, call down. Two, fire. Three, from heaven. Four, consume. Four important elements of showing power. One, call it down. Two, fire. three from heaven, and four to consume. That word to consume really is a very strong word, and Paul used it too. Look at Galatians 5:15. It's a Greek word, analysko. A-N-A-L-I-S-K-O. Used just two times. Analysko. A-N-A-L-I-S-K-O. Look at Galatians 5:15. Let's read it together. Galatians 5:15. Okay, maybe I should read now. Galatians 5:15. I'll wait for it. Let's go. If you want. Do you think he's talking about using your teeth? Some of you know how to bite. There was a guy like that in my secondary school. We used to call the place Devil's Land. Devil's Land is where we take you to where two of you want to fight, and we don't want you to fight in the hostel so seniors will not punish you. Because you know, if seniors catch two people fighting, they catch you fighting, they'll bring you to one place, we'll call the place Duplex. So both of you stay there and they'll say, go and bring your CMS. No CMS? Conflicts, milk and sugar. So they bring it and they'll be taking CMS and you'll be entertaining them fighting. Until both of you say, we have repented. So we now create what we call Devil's Land. Devil's Land, I say devil, that's Satan. We take both of you there, we say, fight. Nobody's going to stop you. That's why we call it place Devil's Land. So this guy started fighting. So I used to organize many of those fights. So I said, you go in there, and then you stop him. Stop him back. That's how you start the fight. So, one guy, when they beat him, one way, just use his teeth. The guy said, I am a man. So, one of my friends said, surrender first before you come. Surrender, that is of Devil's Land, you know. Use whatever you have. Now, he says, if you bite and devour one another, notice the previous verse was talking about love. Alright? Love. If you bite and devour one another, take it that you be not consumed one of another. That means it's a process. Bite, devour, then consume. Have you heard Holy Ghost fire? Consume them. Alright. Analysko means it's always used for hatred. Is present in hatred. And so if that's exactly what Elisha did, and that's hatred. That's not the walk of the Spirit, that's the walk of the flesh. And in that dispensation, there were men in the flesh. You are born of the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. So that's it. If you bite one another, okay, you will devour one another. And you will consume one another. Analysko. It's taken from the word kalisko, which is a cognate noun. A-A-L-I-S-K-O. It means to conquer and show strength. To devour. Analysko means to annihilate, which means to take the person out of existence. It's used for killing people. There's no way the Spirit of God, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of darkness, will be found in Analysko. Are you there? Are you still there? So, notice it. This is a very key fact that it's born out of hatred. So, what was going on that scene that day was that the disciples were exhibiting the spirit of the law of the sin and death. They were in the flesh. What you saw there was the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. Among whom we all had our conversation in time past. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Are you still there? So, Jesus says, hey, what's going on here? So, these folks were misled. They were misled to think that what Elisha did in the flesh, which he was born of, no doubt, which he was of, no doubt, was correct. And the people that use that example today, even in the ministry. And Jesus,
Pay attention, guys. This is not the New Testament yet. In the case, it says that Jesus had not even died as a ransom for sin. He had not been buried. And he turns to these guys. Before we go there, look at John. John the Baptist himself. There's something I want you to notice about John. John, when John spoke about the ministry of Jesus, he said, I baptize with water. He will baptize with what? Matthew 3:11. Turn there quickly. He will baptize with what? With what? The Holy Ghost and with fire. Did you notice that? If we're going to use proper construction of the terms, pay attention. This is important. Please don't lose this one. If we're going to use proper interpretation, what he meant, he will baptize with the Holy Ghost, which refers to fire. Because the only thing he described was destruction. He mistook that ministry for destruction. John. And that was why Mark skipped that word, and John did too. He took that statement. That's why Isaiah Kohair had vengeance to his own. There's no way those guys can just talk freely. You just have to have those things. Vengeance. How can you just have the year of the Lord's favor? And vengeance. Because that's exactly their sight of things. Here's John. John is the senior prefect of all the prophets of the Old Testament. And he's saying, if the fire is in his hands, he will purge. And those things you say with anger, he will purge. With us, he will destroy. He says that. He doesn't tell us anything about the Holy Ghost. Nothing. He just mentions the Holy Ghost, and his description about the Holy Ghost was awful. The same fellow now says, and this is how the Holy Ghost says, oh, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. Are you confused? But he was. Just like all of them. Now, that's the senior prefect. Now, did you know that Jesus only quoted the Holy Ghost? He didn't talk about fire. And when Jesus talked about the Holy Ghost, what did he say? You shall receive power. Not fire. Did John ever mention power? Did he mention utterance? These are the promises of the Father? Nope. John just had a view of what Jesus would do with the Holy Ghost. He didn't know what it was. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, follow this. So John, the chief priest, that's the chief prefect of all the prophets, he says the ministry of the Holy Ghost is destruction. Prophet John. And I know when the Holy Ghost was given, Acts 2. The temple is not born. So when Peter was saying, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall be consumed. That's not what he said. But that's what John said. So watch this. This is good. So, fire. This is it. They misled. They misled folks. Look at John 6:32. You only define heaven in Christ. John 6:32. So Elijah went to heaven. Yes, in 2 Kings. I went to heaven. I said in 2 Kings. Whoever wrote 2 Kings thought he went to heaven. But how would you, after 2,000 years of explanation, you are still saying 2 Kings? You need to be a king. John 6. Verily, verily, I say unto you, are you verse 32? Let's take it slowly. Moses
Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Eh?
Yes. But it's what that is from heaven. That's Deuteronomy. Sorry, Exodus. Exodus.
This one is John. He says, my father gives you the true bread from heaven. The actual bread. The bread of God is the which comes from heaven and gives life unto the world. How can you get bread from heaven? That's what he's saying. Bread is in the earth. Fire is in the earth. Are you listening? The true bread from heaven is the life of God. Hallelujah. Imagine they thought Moses got the bread from heaven. Just the same way that the disciples thought that Elijah called down that fire from heaven. Are you still there? So, who defies heaven to us? Christ Jesus. Are you there? John 3:13. No man, alright, has ascended to heaven. Alright? Except the Son. No man has. No man has gone in. No man has come out. Is the word anabino? Same word. He says except Jesus. So, the only thing that has come out of heaven is Christ Jesus. I'll take it one more time. The only person that has come out from heaven is Jesus Christ. Not fire. Not hail. Not thunderstorm. The only person, the only thing we have seen from heaven, Jesus. That's why, how do you see the kingdom of heaven? When you are born of the Spirit. The only being. So go back to Luke 9. Are you learning something? Luke 9. And he turned. Now what did they ask Jesus to do? They said, look, call down fire as Elijah did. Elisha did. So they have scripture for it. Let me say it one more time. They have scripture for it. But I have scripture for it. It is written. I know it's written. I have scripture for it. The Bible says, I declare according to 2 Kings. That's what they were telling Jesus. So what does Jesus do? Jesus turned and rebuked them. He turned. You know, if that means he had to look at them. That means it was not a small matter. You don't say, don't say that again, eh? Okay? He turned to them, and the Bible says he rebuked them. The word there is epetimai or epetimesen in the Greek. It means to warn. Eh? What did he just mention here?
Sir, prophet Elijah. Ah, Elisha. Ah, Elisha. Who had double portion. He rebuked.
The word there, I checked them across the meaning, it means to forbid an action. Because he rebuked them. You know, the Bible says he will rebuke demons. Rebuke is not correct here. Because if he was going to use correct, that will be, what do you call that Greek word again? That's not correct here. This is to forbid an action. Like, he rebukes the wind. He's not correcting the wind. He's stopping it from working. So, what does that mean? That means it was possible. Are you following this? See what I'm just saying now? For him to rebuke them, forbid an action, that means it was very possible. They could have called fire. Are you with me? That means they could have called fire.
And I said, ah, come and see the wonders of our ministry. All those who died. Everybody, those who opposed us, those OPC that wanted to start our church, as the man of God stood up and he said, come here. Come and see the Holy Ghost moving. It's not the Holy Ghost. And then they all died. Is that the Holy Ghost? You better rebuke the man of God. He rebuked. It means for him to do, to warn them. You know, if to warn them, that means it was possible. They could have done the same thing. Are you following what I'm saying? So he says, know ye not, which is the word Hehido. What's Hehido now? Hehido is to appreciate, realize, remember. That means he had taught them so much, he didn't expect them to do that kind of thing. Know ye not the manner of spirit that you are of? Why did he say that? Go to Luke 9, Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Luke's Gospel chapter 9. Are you following me? Come on guys, are you following this?
Yes, sir.
Remember, years ago, a lady, she was saying some funny stuff about me, and I said she will regret it. And then she did. She was in very big trouble. And she came to meet my mom. My mom said, ah, it's not me. You have to talk to him. He's the man of God. And I was smiling. These signs are for them that believe in my name. Shameful things. I'm saying shameful things. Things you should be ashamed of. An exploiting ministry. Hallelujah. Look at what did he send them to do. Look, what were they doing? Luke 9. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Fire or power? Authority over what? He didn't give them devils, he gave them authority over them. He gave them authority over what? What were they yielding to? He gave them authority over what? Luke 9:1. And to cure diseases. That was what he sent them to do. Wherever house you enter, abide and hence depart. If they will not receive you, what should you do? Go out of that city. Shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them. That's all he said to them to do. He didn't ask them to call down anything. He just said, if they say no, just go. Don't say, you rejected my ministry. You rejected my ministry. I came unto my own, my own received me not. Look at this. That's what he sent them to do. Matthew's Gospel chapter 10 gives us another rendering of that. So, what they were saying was in the line of ministry. Let me ask you, are he giving them authority? Exousia? Were they yielding to that authority in Luke 9:55? No. What were they yielding to? Something else. Would they have gotten results? Yes. Luke's Gospel chapter 10, sorry, Matthew 10. He called his 12 disciples, he gave them the power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He says in verse 8, heal the sick. I thought sometimes the word heal the sick should be H-E-A-L, not I-L-L, I think. Hope you got that. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Not make them die. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely should you give. What did he tell them to?
freely you have received, freely you should give. So when you go to a place, you say, peace. Look at the word freely, is the word dorian. Freely you have received, freely should you give. And that's so important. Dorian is used 9 times. Dorian. Matthew 10:8, dorian, 9 times. See how it's used? Freely you have received. Because this is a very vital fact of the New Testament ministry. Freely you have received. Dorian. D-O-R-E-A-N. John 15:25. Dorian means, John 15:25. Let's just quickly, I want you to actually read those verses. It's important that we don't skip them. John 15:25. They hated me without a cause. Without a cause. Without a reason. Romans 3:24. Being freely justified. Romans 3:24. Galatians 2:21. He used the word vain. Vain. Second thing, 2 Thessalonians 3:8. Second Thessalonians 3:8. Nothing. Vain. Revelation 21:6. Revelation 22:7. The word dorian means to do something for nothing. To do something that is nothing will prompt you. Nothing. Freely have you received. That means you got this without doing anything. So you will give it without anybody doing anything. Dorian. No cost. So, people you will minister to will not qualify. You won't give them a list of what to do. I have this calling God gave me. 6 months ago, I was in my bedroom. And I saw somebody enter into the room. He wore all white. I said, Lord, I'm not worthy to look at your face and stand up on your feet. I have a ministry for you. And what I'm going to give you in this very serious economic area in Nigeria, I'm going to give you an anointing. Anybody you touch, anybody, their money begins to multiply in their accounts. Lord, suppose there's a condition. They must connect to affect. So, 5 ways you are going to collect to this grace. Uncommon grace for uncommon people. Uncommon people for uncommon this one. Freely have you received. New Testament ministry. Freely should you give. Dorian. Don't say freely. Unearned. Notice that he calls the receiving and the giving both free. And this is something we are going to have to look at. Freely have you received. That those who treat the New Testament ministry like what is not. Price, I taught this sermon in 1994. Late 93. Price for spiritual power. Power. Price. I read it from Robert Leiden, the man who saw heaven as a kid. The special investigator of God's generals. He had his own bema seat for all of them. Great man of God. I love him. But it's just a good thing. So I said, praise for spiritual power. Can you fast for only 80 days? And the other. Can you? Now, he is presenting a Dorian ministry from the law of sin and death. Because many people have not been well taught. They think it was those things they did that got them qualified in the ministry. And that is how they minister to. So when someone is wrongly taught, he will make his audience slave. So, freely have you received? These were guys that could not even sustain 1 hour prayer. 1 hour! I'm not just talking about
Gethsemane, you know, Mount Transfiguration. They were always sleeping. They caught them eating like gluttons. So, if you want to know who receives freely, check those guys. Let me tell you my story. Do you know why my leg is this bent? The Lord let me know why He called me to the ministry. I got an appointment to go and work in a company. Not knowing I was going in disobedience. That's how He got one of the Okada man to hit my leg and break it. He said, I will not heal that leg. So you always remember I've called you to ministry. So right in your mind, you begin to see price for spiritual power. He has presented the work of Jesus with Moses. That's what He has done. He has put new wine in old wineskin. Is it wrong to fast and pray? No, no. But the reasons are very different. Is it wrong to study for hours? No. But the reasons are very different. Very, very different. They are not the same. The reasons why they prayed in the Old Testament, the reasons why, listen carefully, they fast is not why we do. These were men not born of the Spirit. These were men whose impression of God, you should not even have half of it. No, a third. And so, freely have you received, freely shall you give. That's why they will collect seed from you. That's why you will pay for the anointing. You can keep paying. Hence their mode of ministry. So these guys had a different mentality. That's why they ministered this way. Do you notice that in Luke's Gospel 9, anger was present? You cannot minister the things of the Spirit in anger. For the wrath of man does not walk the righteousness of God. James 1:20. You can't. If you minister in anger, be rest assured you are going to introduce evil spirits to your ministry. In Luke 9, verse 55, these guys were definitely angry. And that's what Paul was saying. When you are angry, you will bite one another, devour one another, and you shall be consumed of one another. Now, God wasn't going to bite, He wasn't going to consume, and He wasn't going to destroy. They were going to open up to the devil. That's why I told them, give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. So listen to what I'm saying here. Are you following what I'm saying here? A New Testament ministry is not ministered in anger. Look at 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1 and 2 Samuel 24. Let's look at a man in the Old Testament named David. David, 2 Samuel 24. Verse 1. Put your hands in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 verse 1. And then 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 1. 1 Chronicles 21 1. 2 Samuel 24 verse 1. Are you there? Are you there? Come on, are you there? Oh, it took you a while to get to 1 Samuel. You know where it is? 2 Samuel, sorry. My Bible starts from Matthew. Just close it. Okay? And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And He moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Why? Because in 1 Chronicles 27:23, they were not supposed to number. They were supposed to number. Why are they supposed to number? It was under the restriction of the law. So they were supposed to number. So who was angry here? Because if you observe, people died. A lot of people died because of this action. They died. Now, who was angry? 1 Chronicles 21:1. And Satan stood up against Israel
and provoked David. Can you see that? To number what? Israel. He provoked David. Then what happened? People drew sword. Verse 5. And then they died. People died. What's the word Satan there? The word Satan there means adversary. It's the same word in the Hebrew, Satan. It's used for an accuser in court. Somebody who brings a railing accusation against you. In Numbers 22, verse 22 and 32, you'll find that word used. Numbers 22, verse 22 and 32. Satan. Verse 22 and 32. In the way for an adversary against him. 32, same word. To withstand thee. One who withstands you. Satan. Watch this. It was used a lot in Job's case. Somebody who brings accusations against you. Watch this. There are 27 times that word is used in Hebrew. Old Testament Hebrew. And Job alone has 14. Just Job. 14 times. So the accuser is the one that hides behind the veil and acts like he's God. Satan. See other places used. Numbers 22:22. Numbers 22:32. 1 Samuel 29 verse 4. 2 Samuel 19 22. I'll take it again. Numbers 22 22. Numbers 22 32. 1 Samuel 29 4. 2 Samuel 19 verse 22. 2 Samuel 19 22. 1 Kings 5 and 4. 1 Kings 5 and 4. 1 Kings 11 and 14. 1 Kings 11 14. 1 Kings 11 23. 1 Kings 11 25. That's 23 and 25. 1 Chronicles 21 1. Then you see it in Psalm 109 verse 6. Psalm 109 verse 6. Zechariah 3 verse 1 and 2, two times. Zechariah 3, 1 and 2, two times. It's used for someone who accuses you. Or someone who is looking for fault. So that anger was to look for fault. To make you do wrong and look for fault. That's not God. And you can see, we've unmasked someone behind the scenes. When people act in anger, just like Elijah, just like Elisha, just like Moses, are you here? Are you following what I'm saying? Satan is behind the action. So, let me say this. How many of you agree that in Luke 9, Satan was present? He was. If you want to check it out, look it out. One time, Peter had a revelation, Matthew 16, 16, 17. In Matthew 16, 23, Jesus turns to the same Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. How come? Jesus is there, Satan is there. Are you following what I'm saying here? So Satan hides behind a man's emotions. Hides behind a man's reactions. Are you following what I'm saying? So, Satan is present anger. What is called the anger of the Lord. Alright, it's not the anger of the Lord. Satan was the one who was provoking anger, who was angry. Are you there? So we have a responsibility to make a distinction. We are in the New Testament, and we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know what? The things that are freely given to us of God. Let me ask you one more time. Is it possible to minister by the Holy Ghost and minister by another spirit? Yes. Particularly when your conception about the New Testament, Old Testament is confused. Now let me say this. And I like to say it a lot of times. It's so fundamental for a minister of the gospel to know the difference between the Old Testament and the New. See, the minute that is not done, almost everything he does will be in error. Let me say it one more time. It's so fundamental for a preacher to know the distinction between the Old Testament and the New. If he doesn't make that distinction, almost everything he does will be in error. I'm saying virtually everything. He will not even know who he saved. He won't know how people can be. People will be saved by chance. By chance. Many of us got born again genuinely, as you see, in some meetings. You know why you didn't know you were saved? Because even the person who preached did not know you were saved. Because he just didn't know what it meant. May your life not be like Jonah in the salvation message. Brethren, after you had received the Holy Spirit, a man was preaching one day.
And now, having known that the man, I'm grateful. I'm so thankful for what God's used him to be. He's a great person, and I'm so grateful. But you see, I'm more grateful for Jesus. The man says, and I've been hearing this thing for years, and I never knew the distinction until one day. He said, Jesus says, sanctify them with thy word, for thy word is truth. He said, brethren, I've been hearing him say that thing for years, until that day, he said, if the apostles who were born again children of God, who had the Holy Spirit in them, could need sanctification, how much more you are. He didn't know. He didn't know. He did not know they were not born again. Where do we start from? And there's a large ministry where we cannot decipher who those who were Christians and who were not, because the message was mixed. But I had come in contact with materials. I had read Brother Hagin. So I said, no, they were not born again. But I didn't say it loud. They were not born again. No, they were not born again. They were not born again. I said, they were not born again. No, they were not born again. I was in the meeting. They said people want to fill with the Holy Ghost. By the time they wrote the statistics, I like what the preacher said. He said, you want people to eat communion? And then he told them, this is this. If you eat this communion, they said, why did you prepare it at all? If at the end of the day they must not eat it, why did you bring it? You get the point. So here I was, and I said no. And I found out. I remember there was someone like that I was reading his books, and I was liking the exploits. And I said, I see exploits. This is somebody who opposes ministry, they die. And I like those exploits. Because I'm an African. Then Brother Talk said, did you notice something? I said, I didn't. That was 95. I didn't know what he was going to say. He said, did you notice that this man cannot differentiate the Old and New Testament? He said, check all his books. I never noticed. I found it. I said, it's true. He said, it's a major problem. He'll have mixed results. You'll see the ones that come from the Holy Ghost and the ones that come from demons. And that can happen to any of us. Hallelujah. Why are you all quiet? We have not started. 1 John 4. So that thing is so fundamental to know the difference. Why would you think John will write clearly? The law came by Moses. He wants you to know it came by Moses. He will say, he's not in the Bible. He's in the Bible. He came by Moses. Are you deaf? Beloved, believe not every spirit. 1 John 4:1. Have you read this before? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits. Notice that. Look at 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. He calls them the seducing spirit. Watch this. Notice what Jesus spoke about in Luke 9. Know ye not the spirit that you are of? It is a message. The spirit that you are of. In other words, they were about to yield to something. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Know ye not the spirit that you are of? Pay attention here. He says, look at verse 56, Luke 9. Go back to Luke 9. For the Son of Man has what? Luke 9, 56. Let's take it together. Uh-huh.
not come to destroy. That word is apolumi, used 92 times. It means to kill. It means to cut off. It means to demolish or crush. He has not come to do that. He has come to save. First thing, he has come to save. We're going to see as we move forward that the ministry of the Spirit is salvation. There is no destruction in the Holy Ghost. Go back to 1 John 4:1. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? It says, believe not every spirit. That's a very important word. Believe not every spirit. But test dokimazo. Dokimazo. Test dokimazo. You know dokimazo? To distinguish contextually now, to see God's Spirit. Look out for God's Spirit. Dokimazo means to look out for God's Spirit. Now, you know, this means that you're not going to see these things in appearance. Let me add one more. You're not going to see them in miracles. The miracles will be similar. Am I talking to anybody here at all? The miracles will be similar. But he says, test it. Is this the Spirit of God? Look out for the Spirit of God. Now, that means number one, the Spirit always wants to be believed. Now, how do you make people believe? You show them things that will awe them. Either a vision, a sign, or a wonder. It's so really funny what I'm saying tonight. Either a vision, a sign, or a wonder. She's the one to be believed. That means you'll be given things to believe. Things to believe. Maybe a prophecy that's come to pass. Maybe people got healed. People get healed in places where they don't believe in Jesus. Am I right? Oh, come on. You pretend what you like, but I think you know that. People get healed. They want to be believed. And they speak. They will duplicate, just like Simon the sorcerer was called the man of the great power of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Same thing, Paul says, Corinthians 11. He says, Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. Jesus said false prophets and the Antichrist will do signs and wonders. Are you there? So signs and wonders must be proven. Remember, he didn't say test every doctor. Test every spirit. That means the things will be supernatural. Test every spirit. Now, go to 1 Timothy 4. Now, interestingly, I don't want to stay on this tangent really because some of you are already getting shaky. Calm down. You're born of God. Alright? 1 Timothy 4:1. This is not our emphasis. 1 Timothy 4:1. And the Spirit speaks expressly that what will happen? Latter times, what will happen? Depart from the faith. And what? Seducing spirits. Funny enough, people think seducing spirit is a sister wearing mini skirt. Dummy. Oh, that is a seducing spirit. No, you have a lost wife. Come on in. Seducing spirit. Remember Brother King Day of those days. He kept complaining about seducing spirits in churches. Mentioned those churches, Pentecostal churches. Said they will not cover their hair, they have miniskirts, they wear stuff like that. And I didn't used to argue with him. Just so surprised, late 94, that he now said there was a lady he was led to marry. The lady attended Lateran Assembly. I thought, ah, bros, seducing spirit? You are the one going to seduce now. You get it? But the word seducing spirit has nothing to do with clothes. It's not doctrinal fornication or adultery or anything. It simply means a spirit of error. It's a teaching. Seducing spirit, just like Antichrist. While you are looking out for somebody who has a horn and who is going to rule the world with United Nations, you are being deceived. Antichrist is a teaching that is already in the world. So again, that teaching has already deceived you to be looking for somebody. Let me leave that. The word seducing, alright, doesn't have to do, it's the word planos. P-L-A-N-O-S. To be misled. It's always received in a teaching, not in a cloth. 2 Corinthians 6:8. 2 John 2, verse 7. 2 John 7, two times. Matthew 27:63. When Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:8, as deceivers yet true. That is, as seducing yet true. 2 John 7, two times. Is the Greek word planos. It means to mislead. It's used for teaching. That's why the next statement is doctrines of devils. Teachings. Daimon in the Greek. D-A-I-M-A-N-I-O-N. Demon. Doctrine of devils. D-A-I-M-A-N-I-O-N. Now, look at how this is done. It calls a seducing spirit. Look at verse 3. That we says, verse 2 and 3. Forbidding to marry. Verse 3, abstaining from meat. So, a seducing spirit, pay attention here, is one that uses the law of Moses. Don't do this. That's a seducing spirit. It's a deceptive spirit. It will use the Bible, but it's deceiving you. Forbid, abstain. Legalism. Legalistic things. If you want God to bless you, during this fasting period, you must not watch television. That's a seducing spirit. How does that, he that goes to television, then he begins to shake. You know the way? Have you ever watched these movies? And the man says, take. Water must not touch it. As you are going now, just hear rain. Hey! My enemies have come after me. Hallelujah. Are you there? Remember my dad told me about his own dad. His own dad, not mine. He said, his father, when he's in deep spiritual prayers, because his father was a prophet. I don't know what kind of prophet, but I think he was a prophet. He said, when he sees any woman who is having a menstrual period, that he knows the devil sent that woman. Because one of the things God told him when he was called to the ministry was that women having a menstrual period must not cook for him. And he mustn't see them in those deep spiritual times. I was just watching. And this great man had three wives. I asked my dad, I said, why do you have three wives? He says, and it's social problem. I said, that's fine, that's fine. That's fine. So, a seducing spirit uses rules. Rules. The guy told me, the pastor said to him, if you don't bring your offering on January, which is your first fruit offering, that the whole year, there will be canker worm, canker snake. I said, if they bone you well, take it to that church. Since I said, nothing will happen to you. He's my, we take authority over that spirit. So what do I do now? I said, don't give it to any church. Go send it! Cesar, how can you send it? Or punish the devil. You know, I said, spend everything! Spend that, come back to me. Nothing will happen to you.
By the 6 months, I think it was 2014, he left that church. He said, thank you, sir. I didn't ask him to leave, but he knew he had to leave. The big church. Say they say Kanka won. Say Kanka won. Kanka won your money and died there. Give me! If you eat your tithe, it will tithe for you. Give it now! It's witchcraft! Sorcery! Ah! Home believers are taking their own and Veblen joy. Tell me now, you say, ah, my own wife, Kanka won. Believer! No. Don't spend it. Don't ask me. Give me. I was in a meeting in 95, 96. This guy said, this is the one who died. I said, nobody's dying here. He said, eh? Said, did you hear me? Nobody's going to die here. Guy, calm down. You know, you saw? He just became jittery. So, everybody's down here. All of you go. Don't bring back Moses. Moses is already a Christian. Don't bring Moses here. What's that? Ah, somebody denied Jesus and he preached on the day of Pentecost. And he was bold to say that. He was both saying to tell them repent. I mean, baptize one of you. Is that you say? I've never met him before. I don't know him. I've never seen him before. The third time they came to me, he was now cursing. The day I meet him again, let me die. Nothing happened to him. Tell somebody. Did you give everything? I'm coming for Peter. Let's go for that. 2 Corinthians 3, are you out there? So you must test spirits, okay? Test spirits. Don't be deluded. Don't think that the spirit has always test that those that live in the bush. They've moved to town. They have choir. They have everything. There are television. Okay. So, Corinthians, are you there? Hope you are learning something. I'm not in a hurry to finish. Watch this. For as much, verse 3, as we are declared manifestly to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Not in the tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart, and such trust we have, through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiencies of God. Let's take verse 6 together. Who has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, hallelujah, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, that's the law of Moses. But the Spirit gives life. Oh, that's the ministry we have. We give life. Hallelujah. But if the ministry of death, reason they gave his stones was glorious. He didn't say it was the glory of God. He only said glorious. So that the children of Israel could not step on it behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was dominated with. It gives people bondage. They couldn't look at it. Say, ah, that's it. That is, ah. The pastor, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Let's take 9 together. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the mission of righteousness exceeds in glory. What does he call it? Spirit, letter, condemnation, death. Hallelujah. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Every time, everywhere you see bondage, it's not the Spirit of God. The veil shall be taken away. Look at 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Hallelujah. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, what do you have there? Liberty. How do you know? How do you know? He says, when it shall turn to Christ. Hallelujah. He says, in Christ there is a doing away of the veil. So in chapter 4, is continuing now. In verse 5, it says, we preach not ourselves. Hallelujah. Are you there? But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. When there's this, when you find the New Testament ministry, Christ will be the message. Christ. We preach Christ. Go to Galatians 3, our text. Hallelujah. Don't worry, we are finishing soon. This is our text. Galatians 3. Are you there? Verse 1. I'll start from 5 actually. Then I go to 1. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Look at the distinction he's making. Doeth it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith. Look at verse 3. Are you so foolish? That is thoughtless. Thoughtless. You are not reasoning. Are you so stupid? He says, having begun in the Spirit, are you not made perfect in the flesh? Look at verse 2. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. You know what he's saying here? How did he receive? It's how you receive that you minister. Receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Same way as Luke 9. Am I right? Am I right here? The hearing of faith is the report of faith. The faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Galatians 2:20. Have you crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live. Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's why chapter 3. He says, now that faith has come, we are no longer under any schoolmaster. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Verse 3 says, having begun in the Spirit. That word to begin in the Spirit is like a birth. It's the word enakoma in the Greek. E-N-A-R-C-H-O-M-A. M-A-I. E-N-A-R-C-H-O-M-A-I. Used two times. The second time he used it is in Philippians 1:6. He that begun the good work in you. Hallelujah. He's used to birth something. A cognate noun is in 2 Corinthians 8:6. Talking about Titus, who began something in Corinth. Then he says, are you not being made perfect by the flesh? The word perfect, there's no maturity. It's the word episteleo, E-P-I-S-T-E-L-E-O. It means to perform, to act. You are born of the Spirit. You cannot act in the flesh. You are born by faith. You cannot resort to the law. To perform. That word episteleo means to perform. Are you following what I'm saying here? This is in verse 5. He that ministers to you the Spirit. The Spirit. What Spirit? Remember Galatians 3. He told you about that Spirit. 13. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. As it is written, cursed everyone that hangs on the tree. He became a curse for us. That the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles who receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Which Spirit? Chapter 4 verse 4. He said the Spirit of sonship. The Spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba Father. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? You can't find that in the Old Testament. The Spirit of adoption. The Spirit of sons. Are you following this? He that ministers the Spirit. That word ministers means to provide. Oh, I love this verse. I'll take it on next week. That word means rich supply. That when they give you this one, you will need nothing again. He that supplies fully, watch that. He that supplies fully the Spirit. Or he that has full supply in the Spirit. Epikogoreo, E-P-I-C-H-O-R-E, E-R-E-G-E-O, E-P-I-C-H-O-R-E-G-E-O, to provide lacking nothing. He that supplies all the Spirit, that is and works miracles among you. See, does he do it by the works of the law? Pay attention here. He's saying to you that a man can work miracles by the works of the law. That's why he's asking. The person working miracles among you, is it by the works of the law or by the message of faith? Let me ask you, is it possible to work miracles with the works of the law? Are you following this? Is that the plan of God? It's not. the works of the law. Look at this. Look at the first thing he says. Verse 1. Highly, praise God. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? That word means to cast a spell. Vaskaino in the Greek. V-A-S-K-A-I-N-O. It's used to cast a spell to captivate. To hold you in awe. Who has bewitched you? That you not obey the truth. He's saying, you are seeing miracles and wonders. But are you listening to the truth? Because the way we're going to look at it in our study, the way we will distinguish the spirit of truth is not in miracles. There will be miracles and wonders, but it's in the message. That you not obey the truth. It's in the message. What's he saying? Who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell on you? Now, that spell already presupposes what? Bondage. A spell. You can't act. You can't. Someone called me. That fellow who told me that story of they had to pay money first January. He said, my problems are, the reason why he called me, he would not have called me. I know the story now. It wasn't 2014. I think it was 2012 or 2011. He said that they had been owing him salaries for months. They were not going to pay it in January. Because I knew he wouldn't have called me normally. He says, he's confused. What should I do? I said, I don't understand. It's your money. He said, ah, sir. It's not my money. It's not my money. I said, ah. Did you steal it? He said, no, sir. Ah, it's not my, you know how Christians we were. I said, what do you mean how Christians? We are not the same thing. He said, we are quick Christians. So you know, we Christians, you know, that money, you know, it belongs to God and all that. You know, it's the first fruit. I'm just confused because I have school fees of children to pay. I have this one, I have that one. So I'm really wondering how should I go about it. And my pastor told me if I take out of it at all, devourer, cankerworm, they will enter. I said, you are spending everything. Everything. Sometimes I will tell God I said you should spend it. There was a minister that told the fellow that she must not take coke. Is it coke or rice? Eh? You must not take the two together. Very intelligent lady. I said, sir, she wants me to come and pray for her. I said, don't worry. I just said, go and buy me coke and rice. That's how we're going to break it. Is it? Sir, this is 2001. Say, eat it now! As you eat it. Eat it. Hallelujah. Eat. Somebody brings... It's bad enough communion is a shadow. Do you know what I say? Before you eat this thing, you rules. Papa. So I say, if you eat communion and it's not in the evening, that's why it is called supper. Who has bewitched you? Now, if you use wave on, say somebody's, say, if somebody, there's a spiritual thing in wave on. People that have died, they took their air, they put it somewhere. I say, why you do that kind of study? You went to study where they get air. No wonder you say nonsense. If you spend that time in Ephesians, you will minister life. Hallelujah. When you are studying nothing, you know, an idol is nothing. You know, vanity of vanity, all is. It's interesting. It's bondage. That's not the spirit of God. A brother was sharing with me Say, Pastor, you've helped us. Say, when I start my things, say, people are vomiting blood. They are vomiting things. There was a lady who was a member of our fellowship years ago. Say, when they started that deliverance, for her, say, there's a spirit that she vomited half a bucket, or say, a whole bucket of things. I asked her, doctors will tell you, it's not possible for you to hold a bucket in your belly. Where did they get it from? It's a lying wonder. She says, it's a lying wonder. You gave yourself to them. She vomited a bucket. You see, people say snake came out of their body. It's a lying wonder. Did you ever see Jesus do that kind of thing? It's a lying wonder. To hold you in bondage. Say, Sister Fumi, why did you go there? Why did you go? Why did you go? You have not started vomiting. You will poo. Know who you are in Christ, there enough for you. You will know who you are not. I'm gentle these days. You know that I'm very harsh. You will poo it. Snake will come out of your body. Because when people preach a lot about demons, they see demons. They see demons. Paul says, give no place to the devil. You give him place, he's around. Bondage. Look at Romans 8. It said, for the law of the spirit of life, hallelujah, in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. Say, we are free. He says, listen, for we have not received the spirit of bondage into fear. Hallelujah. But the spirit of adoption, crying, Abba, Father. A girl told us, I think the Lord can remember, this lady. She came and said, they told her that she belonged to the power of darkness, that she was second to come of the dead. I, myself, and Pastor Yomiojo, my friend, then, we're laughing. You, second in command of who? When the Bible says we enter this flesh and blood, how did you get your own? Say, when I'm doing that here, I'm always saying it. It's lying wonders. So I shared the word with her. I said, don't go there again, no. Don't go again, no. She didn't go. She said, she would just forget everything she was being taught in school. She was a student of University of Nevada. Because she was surprised when she was shaking. She was really shaking. And I was laughing. Pastor, why are you laughing? It's funny. You. Then I saw her. Well, I was there that day. We were walking in Idia Hall. And she helped me. She was doing her NYC. She said, I graduated, sir. Thank you for your help. Hallelujah. I didn't pray. It's not by praying for it. Praying about it, you are yielding to it. Don't pray. Don't say, Father, if you pray, you are looking for trouble. What are you praying about? You rebuke it. The influence in your mind. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
We have liberty in Christ. We have life. We have faith. Freely given unto us. Are you there? I'll close here. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, you know the difference. He will guide you into all of the truth. He will show you things to come. He will take the things of me and show it unto you. He will not show you incubus and succubus. He will not go into the depth of the sea and bring out a bacchus bacchus. That's not the Spirit of God. Say, the one that is Asmodeus. Bacchus bacchus. Shengene. They even have names. All this worketh and one and self-same spirit. Divide it to every man severally as he wish. If you don't listen to me in the spirit by the spirit, you will hear those things. Are you following what I'm saying here?
I'm not even focusing on this actually, but I just know what I'm talking about tonight. There's a ministry of the New Testament. And the spirit of the New Testament is called the spirit of liberty. The spirit of the sons of God. You will test every spirit. You know, we can lay hands on people by the Holy Ghost and people will fall down. And those folks who can do that, and the same thing will happen. But where we differ will be the revelation of Jesus. The Spirit of Truth will keep unveiling Jesus. Hallelujah. Unveiling Jesus. Are you there? Unveiling Jesus. Unveiling Jesus. Then we will know. Are you there? And that's what we're doing this study for. We're going to chase away Mount Sinai from our pulpits by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to take out the influence of the law of sin and death. What we have is the law of the Spirit of life. We don't minister death here. You didn't hear what I'm saying? We don't minister bond. You must not. Not here. Not here. We don't bewitch. We don't bewitch. Hallelujah. No, we don't. We don't sell blessings. We don't sell miracles. No, freely have we received. Freely we give. Hallelujah. And I trust God as I was praying for these meetings, this particular series, that the gifts of the Spirit will flow in many lives tomorrow. Many of us are not walking in them because we still have the law of sin and death working in our minds. We're still trying to qualify. We're still trying to, you know, but that's broken by the power of the Holy Ghost. We're walking in our rights and privilege in Christ. I'm believing God that as we keep teaching, many of us will have more and more proofs in our ministry. Amen. You will know what not to preach. When you want to share the gospel in the bus, anywhere, you must minister life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must minister liberty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must minister faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The righteousness of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are not sent to condemn. God was in the Son. He was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself and not bringing their trespass again unto Him. That is the New Testament ministry. Don't share us a testimony of somebody who was going to get saved and then died on the road. What's that for? That's not the Spirit of Truth. When the Spirit of Truth is ministered, or ministers, you will see Jesus. You will see Jesus. He's altogether lovely. He's altogether wonderful. So he that the Son has set free is free indeed. That's what he ministers. He does not minister bondage. He does not minister, do not do this. Thou shalt not. That's not the Spirit of Truth. Hallelujah. We bless this evening. Lift your hands and worship God. We honor Him.